the spirit of the young lady that she was referring to is not a strange spirit. It's a spirit of a person's right with God. When a person's right with God, search through the scripture, you'll find out that they have an unselfish spirit, a giving spirit, a thankful spirit, an encouraging spirit. When a person's right with God, their spirit is not self-centered nor selfish. It's giving and caring. May I say to you that what Brother Horton, Mrs. Horton, experienced is no different than it was here in America back in the 60s when I started in the ministry. Talking about the had nothing, when Mrs. Smith and I started, we had nothing. Had one suit, nothing. Furniture, hand-me-down furniture, just to get out and get started, get out and get preaching. The thing that's happened to America, I think, two things that has devastated our churches is too much prosperity and too much time. We take the time to play, and the prosperity makes it possible for us to buy more expensive toys. And we've lost the burden. We've lost the compassion. We've lost the thrill of God's blessings. We expect somebody to give us something. We expect God to bless us. We expect to have this and this and this. And the truth is, we've come to the place where we've lost the burden, we've lost the vision, we've lost the zeal. I saw altars. It was not uncommon in the 60s to see people getting up out of their seat during the preaching service or the song service and coming to the altar and weeping, getting saved and getting right. It was a common thing. But just think about where we are today. God's the same God. Amen. Bible's the same Bible. Right. Holy Spirit's the same. Amen. Promises haven't changed. Amen. We have. Right. We have. Cold, careless. We have more than we've ever dreamed. We spend more time on computers and cell phones in our spare time, not work, our spare time than we do in the Bible. We'll talk to strangers over the internet, chat rooms, but won't talk to our neighbor about Jesus Christ. We've gotten to the place where we're so selfish that hurt feelings will get us out of church. We don't forgive anymore. We just run. We've lost the joy, lost the thrill. But let me tell you something I felt Sunday. I felt a spirit in our church Sunday I haven't felt in a long time. Even though it was a holiday, man, there was liberty to preach, and I felt the power of God. I felt the Spirit of God at work in our service. Sunday night again. Just because we live in 2006 does not mean that we can't enjoy revival. Just because we live in a day of prosperity does not mean that we can't enjoy God's presence. We've got to come back to the place where we want the relationship with God to be right more than we want things. More than we want to go to a ball game. More than we want stuff. We're so full of stuff today that we're so busy caring for our stuff we don't have time to cultivate a relationship with God. We're so busy with our stuff, we don't have time to build a relationship in our marriage. so busy with things, we lose sight of how important our children are until they're hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and it's too late for us to help them. We can come back and have this. God does not have to bring America back to the place where we're a third world country. We can have revival in the midst of this country. But we're going to have to bring Him back to the preeminent place. We're going to have to return to the first love. We're going to have to make Him first in our life once again. May I remind you that Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, though you're a good church, and I think Trinity Baptist Church is a good church, I think she is the best church in this area. But may I say to you, while Jesus would be commending us, He'd say, but I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. Just so caught up in trying to keep up with the world, trying to keep up with the neighbors, trying to get the latest cell phone, the latest equipment, the latest stuff. We've lost sight of our relationship with Him. We've left our first love. Left. Churches have grown cold because we've left Him who is able to set our hearts on fire. Amen. And to set our church on fire. Amen. Now think about it just a moment. Yes, there is a hunger. Now there's a great need there. The need here is just as great. But we're not as hungry. We're not as hungry. The need is just as great, but we're not as poor as they are. We have so much more. And because we have so much more, we think we're so much better. But we're not better spiritually. Doesn't matter what's in your garage and how many buildings you have to build to keep your stuff. If your heart's cold, and your relationship with Him's not right. If it's not right at home, if it's not right in your personal walk, in your daily life, it's not going to be right when you get to church either. And the Holy Spirit will be grieved, restrained. He won't be free to move. Say, man, I wish our church would be on fire and the Holy Spirit would be moving in our congregation. Let me tell you how you can make sure that happens. Don't come to church expecting the preacher or the choir or the music director to do some magic little thing that'll set the Holy Spirit free. You want the Holy Spirit to be alive and have liberty to move and do it, you come full of the Holy Spirit. You come to church right with God. You come to church with the Holy Spirit of God abounding in you, overflowing you. You come to church with your joy full and His joy full in you, and let people see a smile and excitement and a joy. Holy Spirit will have freedom to work. The only reason the Holy Spirit is bound today is we bind Him. He's grieved because we grieve Him. He's quenched because we quench Him. If He's going to have free rule and free reign in our church, then He's got to have that in our heart and in our life. And that means I must return to my first love. And that first love must be Jesus Christ. There's the problem. Our first love is no longer Jesus. It's no longer Jesus. Let me go a step further. Many of you are holding on to things that happened in the past in your life. Hurt you? Disappointed? You've wept? You've been scarred by it? And you've never forgiven. And you've grown bitter and cold and hateful and critical. Be good if, for Christ's sake.
Amen. That's right.
For your family's sake.
That's right.
For your children's sake.
Amen.
And for your sake.
Amen.
You forgive those people that have hurt you.
That's right.
You say, but I didn't do anything wrong. They're wrong. They don't deserve to be forgiven. I had a lady come out and say, my father does not deserve forgiveness. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is you deserve to be free. You don't deserve to live in the bondage of what your father did years ago. And you're never going to be free until you ask God to forgive him. And you forgive him. It's for your sake. It's for your healing. It's for your health and your happiness. You can't walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit, harboring hatred and envy and bitterness in your heart. Just can't do it. And oh my soul, the reason the altars are not filled with people getting right is because we're still hating in the pew. We're still blaming people in the pew. We're still pointing fingers from the pew when we ought to be the ones on the altar saying, oh God, please forgive them. I forgive them. Help me now to put it under the blood. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Can't change them. You can't undo them. So what are you going to do? Let hurts and heartaches that broke your heart and crippled your life 20 years ago continue to be a cancer eating away your life today? Dear God, God does not have chemotherapy to do away with that. God has forgiveness and a clean heart and a right spirit. And we've got to come back to that place. When we get back to the place where God is preeminent again, and he's our first love, he's not just somebody we, out of duty, come to church to say we serve. But he becomes our first love again.
Amen.
He sits on the throne of our heart.
Amen.
And on the throne of our home. And on the throne of our business. And on the throne of our life. I promise you, revival will break out in your pew where you're at.
Amen.
It'll break out in your home where you live. You let God change your heart, you'll find out it'll change your family. It'll change your marriage. Let me go a step further. Quit trying to change everybody else. You can't change anybody. You say, but I don't like this. You can't change them. The only person you can affect is yourself. So go to work on you. Make sure you're right with God. Make sure your relationship is right. Make sure he's first in your heart.
Amen.
And you'd be amazing how much strength and help he'll give you in dealing with the other things you have to deal with. We can still have a revival.
Amen.
The reason we're not having revival in our churches is not the atheist. It's not the liberals in the college out there. It's not the infidels. It's right here in this pew, in these pews, inside of here. It's the people from right here that I'm looking at and you're looking at. Until we quit making excuses, and we realize it's me. It's me. I was preaching a meeting in Sand Mountain, Georgia, a camp meeting. No man came forward had a Bible with rubber bands around it. It was just all to pieces. He said, "Preacher, the problem in our church is me. And I've come up here to get right with God tonight." So he said, "I'm going over here and draw me a circle. I'm going to get inside of it and I'm going to tell God, send revival inside of this circle. I'm the problem. It's nobody else, it's me." Well, that's what we've got to do. Quit blaming brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Hey, right here. Right here. Jesus said, "If any man will hear my voice, if any person..." The whole church don't have to get right for you to get right. God said, "You open the door and he'll come into you and sup with you." And that's where revival starts. Amen. Not with the entire church getting right. The revival starts with a flame burning in one heart. Amen. And then it begins to spread. And spread. Every revival can be traced back to a person or two on their knees. Not saying, "Oh God, let sister so-and-so get right or brother so-and-so get right." But for a couple of people on their knees saying, "God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, use me." Amen. That's what we must come back to. We'll not do that until we realize he is not enthroned here as first love. Father, thank you for these two missionaries that have stood here tonight and shared their burden and their heart. Oh God, I crave, I hunger, I long to see again.